We want to partake of the Lord's table this morning. I want us to look at the, you know, I remember Brother Hagin, he says, you know, there's people that think they've always got to come up with something new. He says, people haven't got what you gave them the first time. You know, I watched him. He taught on a particular text one day, and I don't remember if it was the next day or it was in the same week. He came back and taught it again. It was in healing school there at Rhema, and people would get it. They'd come back and they'd say, you know, I didn't get it the other day when I heard you preach that. I got it today. You know, well, until you get it, there's no sense in moving forward. Anyway, we'll take a closer look at the Lord's table this morning. This event is the Passover. You know, when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, they had the first Passover. And what Passover means is the spirit of death came through Egypt and killed all of the firstborn. You know, the Moses told Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had a hard heart, and he didn't want to, you know, Mr. Ego, he didn't want to listen, and so that came through. But the children of Israel that did what they were told, they were protected. And but then he switched from that to the new covenant. And you know, you sit there and you think, what's going on? What's he talking about? But yet the disciples seemed to know exactly what was going on. Melchizedek came out to meet Abram, I don't know where that falls, whether he was Abraham by that point or not, but Melchizedek came out with wine and bread and met him. Those are the two, or at least two of the elements for covenant. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, let's start with verse 15. And like I said, I'm reading from the New American Standard. And do you have it? Okay. Verse 15, I speak as to wise men, you judge what I say. And you can go back and read before this. He's talking about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and then he comes and then he says, I speak as to wise men, you judge what I say. And if you go back and you read that, that ties in with what he's saying, what we're going to read now. I speak as to wise men, you judge what I say. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless, a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing in the body of Christ? Think about what he's saying. When we come and we partake of these elements, they represent something. And he's saying to us, I mean, I saw this the other day and I thought, wow. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless, the juice or wine, whichever, is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ. Let's start with that one. We share. This word sharing is the word koinonia. It means fellowship. It means contribution, a participation, a sharing, partake. I am partaking of the blood of Christ. You say, no, you're not. You're taking, you bought that juice over at Walmart. But it represents something. And he's talking here, in chapter 11, it says, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. Meaning, do this in remembering what my body and what my blood did. Right. What you have, or what you can have. Let's put it that way. Okay? So what does this mean, what the Apostle Paul is saying here? He's pointing out to us that we are partakers of what the blood of Jesus has accomplished. What the blood of Jesus did in the work of redemption. What you get when you are born again. You know, when I was in college, I would go up to the library to, you know, I had to do papers and so forth. And they had an archive of the early newsletters that denomination would put out, and a lot of things that they had in there were letters missionaries wrote back, and I was raised where you just go in and take the cup and the water, you know, and that's about the extent of it. We never were taught anything about it. And these people would talk about the blood and how that they had used the blood and how that it had done this and this and this. And I would just sit there with my mouth open and I thought, Exodus chapter 12. Starting in verse 21. It says, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves a lamb or lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. This was designated as a particular lamb, not just one of. And slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin. They would drain the blood from the body. And apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts. In other words, the entryway into your house. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. You say, well, why? Because they were staying under that blood. If you walked out, then you're not under the blood anymore. Now remember, something that we bring over into the New Testament. How does this apply to us? Verse 23. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians, And when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, notice he didn't say the lintel and one of the doorposts. He was very specific. The Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you.
Amen.
And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. Now, this is one of the examples of what the blood has done for us. It's protection.
Yeah.
You know, I hear a lot of people, they say, well, I'm going to just plead the blood. Well, why? For what? They hear somebody else say it and watch them do it, but they don't know what the blood is for. This is one of the things, protection, if you use it. Go over to Acts chapter 20. Jesus was and is our Passover lamb. And his blood was shed for us. I'm just going to read this to you. You can write it down. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Cleanse out the old leaven so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ our Passover. The new International Version says, for Christ our Passover lamb also has been sacrificed. So Paul refers to Christ as our Passover lamb.
Yes.
And his blood and his body were given up for us. Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Paul is calling the elders together. And this is kind of the last shot through. He knows that he's not going to see him again. He's headed for death in Rome. In verse 28 of the New American Standard Bible, be on guard for yourselves. He's talking to the elders. And for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Now, if you people say, well, you know, that blood stuff, yeah, that's an old superstition from way back and this. You know, he says here that he purchased the church, or, you know, the church is you individually. You are the church of God. You are the temple. We together are the church.
Yes.
Yes. Let me read this to you from the Wade translation. Pay heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has placed you as overseers, to tend the church of God, which he procured for himself through the blood of his own son. If you don't think the blood of Jesus is of any value, then it'll never work for you. He says here that you were purchased with a divine substance. You weren't some cheap something or other out of Walmart or Kmart or whatever. You came at a very high price.
That's right.
I mean, think about it. You came at a very high price if heaven had to send its very best
yes.
to purchase you.
Yes.
That's how much the Father thinks of you.
Yes.
Next time you want to run yourself down, stop and think about that and go in the bathroom and just go, give yourself a good kick in the rear. Or if you can't get that leg up that high, then ask your spouse. I'm sure they'll be glad to help you. Colossians chapter 1. This is out of the New King James. Colossians 1 verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You know, you are qualified to use the blood.
Yes.
He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption. Listen, in whom we have redemption. We have been rescued through His blood,
yes.
the forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
We have been delivered. We've been redeemed
yes.
by the blood.
Jesus.
And if you hadn't got enough sense to run to the blood when you need it, you need to wake up. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. Is not the cup of blessing which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread which we break a sharing? Now get this, a sharing in the body of Christ. A sharing. Since there's one bread, we who are many are one body. For we all partake of the one bread. Look at the nation Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices sharers in the altar? Well, yeah, they do. They partake of that. In the same way, we're partakers of the bread in the body, of the bread in the wine. So the bread represents the body of Christ. We share in what the body of Christ has accomplished. You know, what I was sharing about the blood, we didn't even scratch the surface. There's so much. But for the sake of time, Romans chapter 4. Starting in verse 22. Therefore, it was also credited to him, talking about Abraham and his faith. It was credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it was credited as those who believe in Him who raised Christ, our Lord, from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions was raised because of our justification. That's when His body was raised from the dead. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, having been justified or declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. Now think about this. The blood, the body, the resurrection of the body on our behalf. The blood cleansed us completely. Completely.
Yes.
Completely.
Yes.
You know, I tell my wife, she washes my shirt sometimes. I say, baby, I've got a little spot right here. It's something food. So would you pre-treat that before you wash it? So she says, well, I will. Comes out of the wash. I said, baby, did you pre-treat this? Oh, yeah. Well, the spot's still there. Mm-hmm. But there's no spots on you.
Amen.
Through the blood.
Yes.
Yes. His blood. Cleanses you pure as snow, where there's no air pollution. I'm going to use a verse that usually I've heard this, and they use it regarding sin. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. And that kind of they kind of stop right there. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of the sacrifice of the body of the Lord Jesus, we have a gift that we have received. Well, I'm telling you, that ought to make you shout and jump. Eternal life in Christ Jesus. Go with me over to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, and we're going to start in verse 3. He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, or more accurately, pains, and acquainted with grief, or our sicknesses and diseases. And like one from whom men hid their faces. You know, the scriptures tells us after they worked Jesus over, he was so deformed, he didn't even look like a man. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely, our sicknesses and diseases he himself bore. They were laid upon him and he carried them away. He took your sicknesses and your diseases upon himself. And our pains he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. That's the way we thought about it. That's the way people that were standing there at the cross, looking up at him. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, we are healed. He took our sicknesses and our diseases. 1 Peter 2:24. And he himself bore our sins. Now, you know, we read this just now in Isaiah 53, but notice how Peter says it. And he himself bore our sins in his body. What happened at the cross was not just a spiritual thing. His body was involved. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. Our redemption was spirit, soul, and body. The forces of darkness, or we could say the authority of the kingdom of darkness, Now, listen real close to the way I say this. They have no legal right to you. They have no legal right to you to mess with you in any way at all. You know, if you come home irritable and you can't figure out why you're irritable, I know none of you have ever done that. You're all next to the angels of God. But I'm sure you know someone that has done that. Ask yourself, why am I feeling irritable? Have you ever had a sudden sense of fear come on you? For no reason? You know, it says in Timothy, where God has not given us a spirit of fear. Deal with it. He has no right to put sickness on you unless you let him. Go over to 1 Corinthians 11. We'll start in verse 23. He deals with the same thing here in these verses, but I thought how important this was for Paul to talk about this in chapter 10, for us to see this. Are you not partakers of the blood in the body? In other words, are we not participants in the accomplishments of Christ on the cross through his body and his blood? Yes, we are. Verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You know, we're not just remembering that picture. I'm sure everybody has seen the picture of Christ hanging on the cross around somebody's neck. That's not what we're trying to remember. We're trying to remember what his accomplishments were in redemption for us. You know, it's easy to let something slip. If I'm sure you've told your children things over more than once. Well, why do you keep telling them? Moving right along in this holy hush. Verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. Mm-hmm. Now notice, for this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep or have died prematurely. But if we would judge ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord so that we will not be condemned along with the world. You know, when I was growing up, the denomination I was in, they would always pick on other denominations, criticizing them for whatever. You know, the one in particular was, they were attaching that to the book of Revelation. You know, the great harlot, and they said that's this denomination. And then there was another one they picked on, the Church of Christ, and they would pick on all kinds of. That's not walking in love. You're talking about the body of Christ. They may not have your tag and you may not like their doctrine, but if they're born again, they are still a part of the body. And if you're criticizing, you're passing judgment. And he says, many are weak and sickly among you. Sickly. In other words, you're sick all the time. You get over one thing, you go back, you know. Not judging people, not judging the body rightly. That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is they don't recognize that divine healing is a part of the redemption. So there's another one. Men picking at their wife, wives picking at the husband, criticizing all the time, and things like that. That's strife. In a marriage, that's not God's will. We're called to walk in love, and that doesn't mean you're some weak noodle. You know, some men think, well, you know, to be a Christian, you've got to be a wimp. You know, if you go back and read the life of Jesus, I don't consider him a wimp. You know, people say, well, you don't understand what they did. You don't know how that woman treats me. Or you don't know how that bum treats me. The husband. Well, how are you treating him? We're called to walk in love. So he says, judge yourself. I can't judge you rightfully. You have to judge yourself. Yes. So while the ushers come and they are going to pass out the elements, then while they're doing that, some of you may need a little longer to judge yourself. I don't know. And then others. Just take a few seconds, I'm sure. You're passive. Thank you. Takers of the completion of what he did, and we give glory to you in Jesus' name. In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Father, we come right now partaking, remembering what the blood of the Lord Jesus has done for us. And we give praise to you that because of his precious blood, we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. We have access, free and full access to the throne of God, to the presence of God, through that precious blood. Thank you. Thank you for what that blood did for us and what it is still doing right now. And we glorify you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Father, we are so thankful, Father, to be able to celebrate this.
Thank you.
Your table. And we can come together as a family and enjoy your presence. Thank you, Father. You have been so wonderful to us. We glorify you. In Jesus' precious name.
Thank you.
Amen. Well, before you're dismissed, turn and greet someone like you mean it, like they're going to be next door neighbors for eternity.